The Disney Brit podcast is sponsored by Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. At Attraction Tickets Direct, they recognise that people nowadays want to be free from package holiday restrictions and to avoid paying prices inflated by travel agent commission. Because they don't sell through travel agents, they are able to offer attraction tickets at unbeatable prices and offer expert advice. Furthermore, the service they provide is second to none since their lines are open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Customers receive their tickets within 7 days and there are no open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Customers receive their tickets within 7 days and there are no hidden extras such as credit card fees or postage surcharges. You can call them on 0800 975 0002 or visit www.attraction-tickets-direct.co.uk. Complete Orlando are here to help simplify your Orlando holiday. They specialise solely in arranging holidays to Orlando and can therefore provide you with an expert advice and knowledge on this magical destination. They have expert staff available 7 days a week and can personalise your whole itinerary using their range of hotels, private villas and apartments to suit all budgets, as well as car rental, scheduled flights, theme park tickets and travel insurance. Their whole range can be totally tailor-made to offer complete flexibility and fit your individual requirements. Call them on 0800 294 8844 or visit www.completeorlando.co.uk.
Ah, salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
This is Julie Andrews. Once upon a time, there was a magic kingdom made of hopes and childhood fantasies. A timeless place where every land was filled with wonder. A place where everyone who entered its gates would be given the gift of the young at heart. The power to wish upon a star and unlock its magic. Are you ready to wish upon a star? Then it's time to open your heart and remember, dreams come true.
Hello, and welcome to episode 19 of the Disney Brit podcast for July the 8th, 2009. Well, of course, we're going to bring you the news and rumours that we always bring you at the beginning of the show. And then we have some very, very special guests on the show this time. And that is members of the Disney Moms panel are going to come on and let us know a little bit more about themselves and about what they do. We then finally bring you the audio review of Walt's Restaurant from when we made our trip out to Disneyland Paris last March. We're going to bring you the answers to the 12th Disney Brit trivia quiz, and Juz brings you once again another credit crunch tip. We're then going to round off the show with the usual bits of information that we give you, and then finally, as an audio tribute to the late great Michael Jackson, right at the end of the show, we are going to bring you the audio of the fantastic 3D show Captain EO. So, without any further ado, let's get on with the show.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Welcome to the news for episode 19, where, as always, Juz and Craig join me. Hello, both.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Disney Bob people.
Hello, Juz. Hello, Adam. Hello, everyone else.
Oh, where's Disney Pod people? Could have had that.
It's okay.
I didn't say Craig either. Hello, Craig.
And Pod People is copyrighted by Juz, so I suppose, you know.
Yeah, he'd sue me, wouldn't he?
He would sue you. Okay. Enough of the silliness, let's go on with the Disney news then. The first piece of news we have for you is quite sad. It's a sadness that we bring you the news about an incident that happened over at Walt Disney World on Sunday, early Sunday morning, the 5th of July. Monorail Pink has collided with Monorail Purple, and one of the pilots was killed as part of the accident. It has happened around 2 a.m. as the parks were quietening down after the July 4th celebrations. And Disney official press release has stated, "Today we mourn the loss of our fellow cast member. Our hearts go out to his family and to those who have lost a friend and co-worker. The safety of our guests and cast members is always our top priority. The monorail is out of service and we will look closely with law enforcement to determine what happened and follow the appropriate next step." Now, the monorail was expected to reopen on the Monday morning around 10 a.m, so just over sort of 24 hours after it closed, should be open to guests. It was not confirmed at the time of recording. We're recording this Monday evening, UK time, and there was still no confirmation that the monorail had definitely begun. But certainly, you know, sad times for Walt Disney World with something, you know, that's been running for 38 years and to have an incident like this.
Yeah, I think my thoughts go out to Austin and his, you know, his family and his friends there. I think, as you say, 38 years without an incident. I was been horrified by the way the media have jumped on this, and I think it's a case of, you know, it's a very sad event, and we just need to see what comes out at the end and what added safety features get added to it.
Yeah, yeah. Craig, I don't know, you obviously out there a lot at this time of year, and obviously it's very busy July 4th.
Yeah, it's terribly sad, isn't it? I mean, it's an awfully sad thing to have happened. It's, you know, our thoughts and feelings are with Austin and his family, but it's an incredibly safe system normally, and you know, the investigation will show what happened. Hopefully it's something that's not a fault, maybe just an error, and you know, something that doesn't put the whole system at risk, because it's a, you know, it's a fantastic thing to go on, a fantastic thing to arrive, and it, you know, it certainly put the whole monorail thing in a little bit of a dark shadow at the moment. But I think what's got me more on this, and I was talking to Juz earlier today, is the way the media have got hold of this, and kind of, you know, there's videos and there's all sorts of unsavoury things around which I just don't think are appropriate really to have. And, you know, they just need to investigate it, sort it out with the law enforcement agencies, what happened, and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think one of the things that they seem to think may have happened is that the monorail Pink was on its way into the maintenance bay, and for it to do that, he needs to cross over to the Epcot side of the track. And when they have to cross it over, they have to switch off the anti-collision system. And they think that it's possible that the anti-collision system was off, therefore not making the, allowing the monorail to stop. Now, whether that's true or not, I suppose we will find out eventually as to what happens. But as we said, you know, our thoughts do go out with the friends and family of Austin for everything that's happened over there. So, let's head into the Magic Kingdom then. And actually, believe it or not, for the first time, I think, ever, we've got a piece of news for every single park that we normally cover. And we're going to start off, like I say, in Magic Kingdom. And the Hall of Presidents is now officially open. Opened sort of on the 3rd of July for some previous to that for previews. And then, of course, the 4th of July, Independence Day, it was officially open to the public. There has been great things published online. A lot of great talk from people about the new show. Show is around 10 minutes shorter than the original and has many different enhancements, including digital lighting, sound and video. And videos, like I say, already appearing online. I've tried to avoid them. I don't really want to know until next generation sort of audio animatronic is supposed to look amazing. And have both you guys seen any of the videos about this?
Yeah, because I'm not going out this year. Yeah, the first thing I did was I went and checked all the videos, and it's amazing, really is. I won't tell you the ending because I don't want to ruin it for you, Adam, but the ending happens a really good twist to it. But no, I think it's amazing. Barack Obama, you know, very close to human movements was quite scary, really.
Yeah, no, I watched it as well because I don't do secrets or surprises, so I just had to look at it straight away. And it's really, really impressive, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it does look great, isn't it? I mean, there's certain movements that I've never seen audio animatronics do before. So, yeah, very impressed.
I think it's a great addition of Morgan Freeman as narrator. I think that's just quite an inspiring decision.
Definitely.
Just me on that one, then, is it?
I'd quite like Jack Bauer to have done it. That would have been quite good.
Yeah. So it's just me who likes Morgan Freeman. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so the Tomorrowland Noodle Station has once again opened for the summer. It's just opening, it makes me laugh when it says summer period, because it's remained opening until the 8th of August, which is obviously very early summer for us. It's going to be having the usual normal Asian noodle menu, and it's going to be open from 12:30 until 4 p.m. But the location is also going to offer some American fast food, such as burgers and chicken nuggets. And the lunch menu is going to include feijoada, I don't know how to say that, I've just butchered that, I think, which is a Brazilian dish. It's also interesting to note that the lunch offering is actually being targeted towards tour groups. So if you go up there for lunch, you expect to see a lot of Brazilian tour groups that are going to be there this summer. As I've already said, the Tomorrowland Noodle Station will remain open until the 8th of August. Has anybody eaten up at the Noodle Station?
Has anyone been past it when it's been open? It's probably the more appropriate question.
Well, yeah.
Yes. I've never seen it open, and therefore I've never eaten in there.
No, I've not eaten in there yet. It's somewhere I'd like to try, but I don't know whether it's going to be open when we sort of get over there or whether they're going to close that. But again, Tomorrowland Noodle Station is going to be open till the 8th of August if you're going over. OK, let's head over to Epcot then, and we go over to Germany, where there is a new meet-and-greet location. The newly completed meet-and-greet area for Snow White in Germany, as I've said, is now open. It seems that she's going to be found next to the new wishing well, which is going to be in one corner of the pavilion. I can't remember where she was sort of at a meet-and-greet location before. I can't remember where exactly that was.
No, not at all. Doesn't ring a bell with me.
No, me neither.
Sorry.
So, well, anyway, you can go over there and meet her in Germany at her new meet and greet location. It's in one corner of that pavilion. All right, let's head over to Disney Hollywood Studios then, where, as we reported a rumour a few episodes ago, that Luxor Jr. was going to be coming to Pixar Place. Well, he has now appeared in Pixar Place at the studios opposite the Toy Story Midway menu building, and it's in the Lighting Company building, and it's up on the second floor. It's got a small window that opens up, and he comes out and entertains guests with dances to different music in the day, and he conducts the changing lights in the trees by night. Now, it seems that he's going to be coming out every 15 minutes or so to sort of perform this 2 or 3 minute performance and then disappears back inside. It seems that he was out for 2 or 3 days and then disappeared back in again, and people haven't seen him for a few days, but it's believed that he'll be on his way out again.
Yeah, looking on Facebook and stuff, he's closed down again today, isn't he? Always puzzles me, they get these things up and there's always major teething problems. I'm never quite sure whether it's the humidity or something they don't take into account, but I've never yet to see something come up and stay full time, is it?
At least to give people in the queue for Toy Story Mania something to watch.
That's true.
What, not working sign?
Yeah.
Well, the other thing they have said...
just waiting for it.
The other thing they have said is that it's not going to be working in rain or any sort of damp weather because of obviously the animatronic stuff inside and all the electronics getting damaged. So if it's raining, you won't be out. But I'm intrigued how they're going to get that system to operate, because obviously if he's supposed to come out every 15 minutes and suddenly it starts raining, you know, is there sort of a cast member who's in charge of making sure he doesn't come out, or do you think there's sense of making sure he doesn't come out, or do you think there's sensors, or I don't know how they're going to make that work.
I'm not being funny here, but you're living in a state that is renowned for its heavy rainstorms. Would someone not at the design table have thought at that time?
Well, you'd think that maybe they would, but then again, we thought they'd think about shade for Stitch's Supersonic Celebration, and they proved us wrong with that one as well, didn't they? Right, let's head over to Animal Kingdom then. Well, actually, we have the most news for any park, which is completely unheard of. The Animal Kingdom seem to have sorted some new meet-and-greet locations, especially for the summer. There are several changes to the character offerings at Animal Kingdom over the summer. These are going to be starting again, and they imply only until August the 8th. Now, instead of in their usual place in Discovery Island, Flick, Baloo, King Louie and Turk will be appearing along the pathway between Asia and Africa. And Divine is going to move and it's going to be relocated over to the Oasis area. Now, new character meet and greet in Camp Minamiki is something called the Good Times Gathering Spot. It's going to be open daily from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. And it's actually in the old theatre that they had Pocahontas and her forest friends. And the entertainment includes some storytelling with Pocahontas. It's going to be a DJ, and there's going to be character greetings with characters such as Miko, Coda, Kenai and Chip and Dale. So there seems to be, you know, a massive influx of characters and character opportunities over at Animal Kingdom.
Could I ask, where does Pocahontas and Miko and Coda tie in with a DJ?
Maybe he's playing jungle music.
Sorry, I've got to admit, the great thing about Animal Kingdom, it's one of the best parks to actually have a meet and greet. It doesn't feel as pressured, and you get a lot more time, and they're just there. Yeah. You're guaranteed a photograph if you meet up in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem as busy over there when you're queuing up, does it? So, yeah, no, that's a good addition, that, certainly.
Well, the Camp Minamiki's, I think, the biggest sort of character location in regards to sort of the area that they spread over. So that you've not necessarily got so many characters concentrating in one particular spot. Because they're spread out, it means that obviously the crowd is spread out, and it makes it a lot easier to be able to meet characters without everyone pushing and shoving or without there being a lot of people there.
And what worries me, there's no Stitch. Gah!
Oh, no, well, if they had, they'd only pull him out after a couple of weeks anyway.
Or is it the Stitch's DJ has been sacked and been moved across there?
Maybe Stitch is the DJ in disguise.
Maybe he is. Maybe you're right, actually. You could be correct.
Don't give him ideas.
So, the picnic in the park, then. We mentioned that back, probably about 3 or 4 episodes ago, and there's been some slight changes to the picnic in the park. The first one is that the ordering location has now moved. It's now going to be over at the counter outside the Island Mercantile area. The picnics can still be ordered up until 1:30, and the pickup point is still at the Kusafari coffee shop in Africa. But the other interesting thing about picnic in the park is that originally, it was created for groups of people, but Disney have noticed that there's demand for there to be a meal specifically for 2 people. So the Picnic in the Park Tier 1 meal for 2 is going to be $17.99 plus tax. It's going to have 2 sandwiches, 1 side, 2 desserts and 2 bottles of Dasani water. And then the next tier up is going to be Tier 2 meal for 2. That's $20.99 plus tax, 4 pieces of rotisserie chicken and 3/4 pounds of ham, 1 side, 2 desserts and 2 bottles of Dasani water. You know, I actually think $18 for this picnic is actually not too bad a deal. What do you reckon?
I was going to say the opposite. I said that the problem by making it for 2 immediately highlights the fact that, oh, it's a bit pricey. But the $20 one, to me, looks like you get better value money than the $17.99 one.
Yeah, you might be right.
I think it's all right.
Greg's not said a word.
No, I'm trying to work out if that's... Is that the all-in price? So it's not like $17.99 per person, man.
No, it's all in.
That's not bad, is it? I don't think that's bad.
It could be worse.
Two sandwiches, a bit of coleslaw, a little carton of yoghurt, and a bottle of water.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, when you put it that way. Right. Yeah, right. Smarty pants. Fine. Okay, another piece of Animal Kingdom news. Good grief, we've been in this park a long time. The Yeti in Expedition Everest now seems to be working in full A mode. There's been some slight moderations to this A mode that it's been working in. Their tests have been continuing to make sure that all the problems have been ironed out. But this is about the first time in about a year that the Yeti has been working properly over at Expedition Everest. People have been going through, seeing the Yeti in B mode, and there's been a few flashing lights, and that's really about it. But it seems that the Yeti is now up and running. And for me, you know, this is great news. Because seeing that Yeti move as you vanish underneath it is such a fantastic sight that it's been a real shame that they've only been able to have it in B mode for so long.
Yeah, I think I saw it originally when it was in A mode and it was amazing. I saw it in B mode last year. And why it's still great, you think the amount of people who've gone there who haven't realised the full potential of, you know, what they've done with it. So I think it's brilliant that it's back up and running. It's one of those worries that they just cut back and say, but you probably find it stops after August the 8th like everything else.
Yeah, it seems to. Yeah, maybe it will, just before I get there. Okay, Extra Magic Hours over at Animal Kingdom have got a new attraction added to it. The Carly River Rapids will become part of the Extra Magic Hour offering as of the 22nd of August this year. I don't quite know why it's the 22nd and it's not earlier, but you know, any reasons why it's so late to be an addition? No, then.
They won't be testing it. I mean, that's their value season, isn't it? Their value season starts from, I think, the 18th of August this year. So why would they do it after that? Don't know. You'd have thought they would have done it in the summer more because you know, you're still being hot and getting wet.
Exactly, that's what I thought.
Well, this is extra hours at night, this as well, yeah.
As far as I know, it is. It's morning and evening.
You're going to get soaking wet at the end of summer when it's getting cold anyway. I can't see what anyone would want to do that.
No,
I don't even like doing it in the heat because you don't get completely dry.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Right, Downtown Disney then. Let's nip over to Downtown Disney. There is a piece of news, that came out really today, and that is that the Diana exhibition over at Downtown Disney is now officially open. No, it's open. Oh. It's not closed.
It's Michael Jackson tribute.
Do you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they put something like that around
there. I guarantee that's what will be there as soon as this closes.
Well, Diana exhibition is now open. There's new signage up. There's huge sort of banners hanging across the top of the building of Diana in different outfits, etc. The windows are now covered. It's still the $14 for adults to get in. Interesting to see whether this is a good or a bad move. I suppose we'll find out over the next few weeks whether there's a real call for this attraction. Yeah.
You know, I hate to say it, what's has been probably overarched on this is the fact that it is Michael Jackson's death, who is of equal or greater standing to a lot of people than Di is, and has immediately become a cult status. And I think it's shadowing that, and I think it's going to happen.
I think you're right, yeah. I think that I'll be surprised if something Michael Jackson orientated doesn't come in. And obviously, he was a massive, massive Disney fan. You know, yeah. He went to Disneyland Paris several times. He went to Disney California. He would come over to Walt Disney World, at least privileged, who had children who may be ill, and would pay for the whole family just to come over and just do whatever they wanted, basically. So I'll be interested to see if Disney don't do something for him. Obviously, here on the show, you know, we want to do something for the passing of Michael Jackson, and at the end of the show, if you want to listen to it, we're actually going to be putting on the audio of Captain EO, which was such a classic attraction. It'd be great if Disney brought that back again.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Okay, so we're finishing there in Walt Disney World. We're jumping on a plane. We're flying over to very sunny Disneyland Paris. We've had a heat wave over here in Europe recently, and Disneyland Paris only last week was getting up to about 32, 33 degrees. I know out in the US that's probably very minor temperature, but certainly over here in the UK and in France it's pretty hot. So Disney have continued to build on the Mickey's Magical Party theme, and you can now buy new balloons that are commemorating the Mickey's Magical Party. You can buy them at the resort, and they're not only available within the parks, but they're also available within the resort hotels themselves. I don't know whether you guys have seen any photos of these balloons, but to be honest, I'm not that impressed. They're okay, but they're just the same sort of Mickey's Magical Party logo on an oval balloon.
I hate to say it, I think I'd be hard to be impressed by a balloon, to be honest.
But, I haven't seen any. It's not even a Mickey ear balloon, then. It's just
not
a
Mickey
normal
ear balloon, no.
Oh, that'd be a little bit more impressive.
It would have been, but it's not. I don't know, they're all right, but I wouldn't spend any money on them. Are there new attractions coming to Disneyland Resort Paris? Well, we know that there's this possible Toy Story Playland coming, which I'll come to in a little while. But there was an interview held with Philip Gass over the past few months. Philip Gass, obviously the chairman of Disneyland Paris. And when he was interviewed about the future expansion of the resort, he said the following. He said, "Is already thinking about the next expansion phase, but also stresses the importance of new entertainment offerings, such as there's a centrepiece of the promotion for 2009 with all the new additions, attraction, entertainment, etc. When asked whether the resort would still be able to launch a major new attraction along the likes of Space Mountain in 2010, Philip Gass replied with, "It takes a little time to build this type of attraction, at least 3 years. Forget 2010, but maybe in 2012, which will be the 20th birthday of Euro Disney. There are new already projects and even plans, but it is too early to speak about it now." I hate it when they do this, when they tease us with something to say, yep, we might have something new coming out, but we're not going to tell you what it is.
I think, you know, at the moment I'm really content with everything. I think that they're investing correctly into the park. There's a lot of new things happening, and from what he's inferring, there's going to be even more things. You know, as a goer to Disneyland Paris, as a lover of it, I'm really content with the way things are going there at the moment.
And I think with it sort of confirms what we believed about Toy Story Playland, that the attractions that are going on in there are not really big-time attractions. They're something that's reasonably okay, but nothing we can shout home about. And it looks like it's 2012 that's really going to bring something really big, major to the park.
I think what's good of it, from my point of view, is that the way that they're not forgetting Disneyland Paris is like a forgotten park. You know, they've got a lot of land over there, and it still, to me, seems like they've got big plans for it, and they're just doing it slowly and steadily, not to kind of overstretch themselves financially over there. But it still, to me, seems like they'd want to build on it and make it better all the time.
Yeah, definitely, and hopefully that'll continue, and that we'll have some really big announcement for 2012, something that's going to be maybe two or three attractions, and maybe something for Disney Studios and something for the Disneyland Park, rather than just having, you know, one big attraction. It'd be great to see a few more. And something new, you know, although Soarin's been rumoured to be coming to Disneyland Paris for years now, I'd quite like to have something original, something slightly different.
Yeah, that you go to the others.
Don't know, if you offered me Soarin' at Disneyland Paris, oh, I'd be tempted.
Oh, well, yeah, I wouldn't complain, but it'd be nice to have something brand new, something that's
you just have to.
Else. Tough,
he wants more, ride. Jazz. He wants more.
I want more.
He does.
Yes. There's changes to the annual pass over at Disneyland Resort Paris. I'm just going to go through what some of the changes are. Firstly, there's the cosmetic change, where there's going to be a new design to fit in with the current celebration. The Francilian Pass, which is not just designed for locals, but because of the limit on the blackout dates, more locals go for it. That has risen from €89 to €99. The Top Pass, which is the Dream Annual Pass, has risen from €179 to €189. That has very, very few blackout dates. But the middle price, the Fantasy Annual Pass, has actually stayed at €129. Now, both the Dream and Fantasy would offer different discounts on hotels dependent on the time of year you decide to visit. But as of April this year to November, both passes will now receive a 20% discount. Now, the Francilian Pass is still not going to offer any discount on hotels whatsoever. But I think this is the biggest change, and this is the one that I think, Juz, you've got a bit of a gripe with, is that parking has also changed. Now, the Francilian holders can still buy a year-long parking pass that's going to cost €24, and the Fantasy and Dream still have parking included. But the Dream Pass also used to be allowed to use free parking, and not only in any of the theme parks, but also the hotel car parks, except for Disneyland Hotel. But they've now taken away all parking in all hotel car parks, except you can now just park in the theme park parking lots. So, interesting change. Whenever I've stayed in a Disney hotel, the car parks are never full. So, what do you think the thinking is behind this? And I judge you're not very happy about it, are you?
Well, no, I always park in the hotels, mainly because I like to wander through the hotels or for eating there or whatever. I'll always park in the hotel, go to the park, come back the way. I never park in the parking lot. And I know it's a bit quirky, but that's, I think a lot of people do the same. They park up a hotel, they go for the walk through the hotel, enjoy the hotel and walk through. And what they could find themselves here is people like myself who do that go, wow, isn't this a great hotel? You might actually book a night there or whatever at some point because you're getting to see that hotel. Whereas now I just shoving them down the car park. No, that's a bit of a gripe on my part. It's not going to kill them.
If you stay in the hotel, do you have to pay for parking?
No.
No.
Okay. So I don't see why they've done that then. I can't see the point.
But with the occupancy rising in all of the hotels, and they've recorded sort of almost record levels recently, could it be that there's the risk that there's going to be so many annual pass holders parking in the car park, there's not going to be enough space for people staying at the hotel, and to stop this from happening, then they're putting this April to November thing in to see whether it's going to make a difference? I don't know whether that could be an ideal reason they're doing it.
No, it's not bothered America, has it?
But at the same time, you've got more parking lots to choose from. You've got a lot more hotels with a lot of parking space. I don't know whether that's, you know, made any. That's going to be a difference between there and between Disneyland Paris. Who knows? I suppose we'll find out. Right, let's head into the parks then, and we've got two pieces of news, one for Disneyland Park and one for Walt Disney Studios, and that is that the Goofy's Summer Camp has now begun. But it's slightly interesting how this has seems to have set itself up. As of the 4th of July, Goofy's Summer Camp is now part of the entertainment schedule at Disneyland Paris. From photos that have become available and the photos I've seen, it seems that the set is actually very, very similar to the one used for Mickey's Winter Wonderland. They've just removed all of the snow, basically. They've also taken away the lake, week, and in its place they've replaced some sort of, I don't know, almost like mini bandstand, I suppose. So maybe there's going to be some sort of hoedown style music. Now, there's been no detail announced as to the content of the show, but at the moment, as of sort of the 4th to the 10th of July, there's five showings a day, 12, 1, 2, 4.15 and 5.15. But these shows are only scheduled from Wednesday through Sunday, with Winnie the Pooh returning Saturday through Wednesday. Is this a cost-cutting exercise, do you think? Are they testing it out to see whether it's going to be as popular before they give it a five-day-a-week run?
I'm still giggling over the hometown type music.
Miley Cyrus is going to jump up in a goofy costume.
Possibly. Who knows?
Pop it, lock it, and polka dot it.
I think we were worried originally the fact that everything would disappear, aren't we? There just seems to be some uncertainty about all of this at the moment with them, doesn't it? About what they can do and what they should do, and whether they're testing it off. I don't know. What do you think, Craig?
I don't know. Maybe they don't want to do a stitch, do they, and launch it with great fanfare only to pull it later on.
But it's funny you say that, because interestingly enough, it's Dance Time in Discoveryland is still running five times a day, umpteen shows a day, which when we saw, well, we saw it and we weren't impressed really, where we sort of left within 15 minutes of it starting. So it's interesting that that's still running full on.
I didn't want to leave. Adam made me move.
No, you didn't, liar.
Yeah, maybe they haven't got enough staff to run it. Trained up on it, and they haven't got enough shifts, maybe.
That's true.
I don't know, maybe they're still casting for it. Give them the benefit of the doubt.
Another interesting thing as well is that they're doing less of the Party Time with Mickey, the show in the Central Plaza, and they're doing more later on in the day. So they're going to be later in the evening when it's not as hot, and also it allows them to show off the LED lights on the Mickey costume.
That was a cool show.
I really like that show. So we'll see what happens again there, whether they're going to increase the numbers, whether it is that a cost-cutting exercise. Are they, you know, not trying to spend as much money on the shows, knowing they've got the things to pay for? So let's go over to Walt Disney Studios. And I think Hong Kong Disneyland seem to have stolen the limelight from Disneyland Paris. They have announced this week three brand new areas. The Grizzly Trail, the Mystic Point, and Toy Story Playland. And it seems that this Toy Story Playland is almost exactly the same as the one that's supposed to be appearing over in Disneyland Resort Paris. Now, concept art has appeared online for the Toy Story Playland over in Hong Kong. And I wonder whether this is the same concept art that they're creating for Disneyland Paris.
It's annoying in a lot of ways, because you look at the concept art that you sent through and it's exactly what we've been speaking of, you know, Blinky the dog, the U-shape, etc. And you think, hang on, if they can release it, or it's been released there, why haven't we seen the equivalent of Paris?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. But I think it's
looks
a great
cool, though.
Place. It does look cool.
Doesn't it?
For those people, obviously, you can't see it because you're listening to the show rather than seeing it.
Great for radio, yeah.
It's great for radio. There's a lot of grass around. There's very tall, sort of grass, reedy sort of area. There's a huge wooden red barrel, which is sort of the entranceway, one of the entranceways into the park. And you walk through and you've got a big Rex on the right-hand side. Directly in front of you is this RC coaster. And I don't know whether they've just made it look really big on the concept art to make it stand out, or whether it really is going to be that big. But it's massive on this piece of concept art, which would be fantastic if it is big rather than some piddly little coaster. To the left of that looks, there's some sort of building. I'm not 100% sure what it is, but it looks like it could be maybe some sort of restaurant, some sort of cafe. It'd be great to see something new sort of eatery within Disneyland Paris if they do. The path follows round, and then you've got the slinky sort of musical express ride, as they call it. There's some other bits and pieces around, because obviously the idea is you're supposed to be shrunk down to the size of a toy. So there's a massive Pixar-style ball, there's big Tinker Toy pieces, and you follow the path all the way around, and there's a large wooden sort of aeroplane, and then there's the parachute ride for the Green Army Men. Looks like there's going to be about six parachutes all together that you're able to sit in and take you up and down. And then you've got another exit area, which has got Toy Blocks spelling, I think it's Toy Story, and it's got Woody stood next to it. But interesting, one thing I noticed looking at this, I can't see Buzz anywhere.
No, not at all. It's all based around the other characters, which isn't a bad thing, I suppose, really.
Well, no, I think Buzz has got quite a bit of attention in Disneyland Paris anyway, so if they do build this replica, this idea, it could be interesting to see whether they keep Buzz out. But when I was looking at the concept art and looking at how it works, what they did with the area at Walt Disney Studios is cleared a load of forestry to bring in this part of the attraction. And it seems that there is a lot of forest around the edge of this Toy Story Playland concept art. So I'm still wondering, you know, is this the concept art for Disneyland Paris and they're using the same thing?
I think the problem is I can't see anywhere and there's a stage for Stitch.
Sorry, what?
There's no stage for Stitch
no
at all.
Stage for Stitch anywhere. Or any shading or anything. No, yeah, they've built something without Stitch, which is unheard of, and it was going on. I don't know, we'll see what happens. I hope that this is going to be what we're going to get, but we'll have to wait and see for them to finally decide to actually announce the project. But this is our plea, I suppose, again, to say to Disneyland Paris, come on, guys, we know you're building it. You know you're building it. John Lasseter's announced that you're building it. Can you just hurry up and let us know when you're going to open it? So that'd be great if they could do that. Okay, so there's our Walt Disney Studios. That's all of our Disney Parks news, but we also have some Disney Brit news as well. As you know, myself and Craig are both heading out to Walt Disney World this summer, and we've already confirmed the date of our first ever Disney Brit in-park meet, which we have announced as Friday the 14th of August in the Magic Kingdom. We have not yet announced as to where it's going to be and what time. Well, we can now tell you that our first ever Disney Brit in-park meet will be, as I've said, Friday the 14th of August at 11 a.m. at the Tomorrowland Noodle Terrace sort of station. It's going to be the area, it's going to be at the Tomorrowland Noodle Station. The terrace area up there is where we're going to have our very first meet. Now, there is already a Facebook event set up, and there are already people who have said they will definitely be coming to the meet. There are people who I've spoken to over on the forums who are coming. Other people have said that they're coming, not necessarily over on Facebook or over on the forums. But if you are coming, please do go over to our Facebook event, which is linked to the Disney Brit podcast, and say whether you're coming or not. Although we're not saying there has to be any sort of RSVP, it would be great if you could tell us whether you're coming or not. So go over to there, or you can send us an email, disneybrit@hotmail.com, and we can add you to the list of people that are coming. Now, if you're not sure whereabouts it is, if you're heading into Tomorrowland from the central hub, just turn right and you'll see a sign for the Tomorrowland Noodle Station Terrace. You just go up those stairs and that is where we're going to meet. It's the same place where they're going to have the Wishes dessert party. It's the same place where they're going to have the Noodle Station, as always, and they're going to have all the Brazilian food and stuff this year as well. So you'll find it signposted. You'll find these two geeky men hung around in Disney Brit t-shirts as well. That'll be me and Craig. we'll go up there. We're going to do, hopefully, a bit of a Disney Brit trivia quiz. We'll do some of the bits and pieces while we're up there, and then maybe there'll be time to go off and do a few rides or things like that together afterwards. So please do come along if you're there. Friday the 14th of August, 11 a.m, Magic Kingdom, the Tomorrowland Noodle Station Terrace, and we'll definitely see you there, won't we, Juz? Oh, sorry.
Well, I've spoken to Lou Mangiello, who's having a special meet on the same day, same time, but somewhere else. That sounds like a lot of fun.
So, you hate us all, do you?
Yeah.
Do you know what? We could even do a live phone call to Juz from.
Shouldn't we?
The park.
Should we do that?
I think we should do that.
He's saying he hates me on Skype now.
Is he saying that? He hates you on Skype. Oh, yeah, he has actually written, blah, 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 boring. Hate you, it smells. Right.
That sounds very childish.
Yes.
We'll be there and we'll have fun. I was going to buy you a present or something, Juz. I don't think I'll bother now.
No, you can buy me one.
Noodle station.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to nick one of Brazilian flags or something and bring those back for you.
Excellent, yeah. Right, okay, so let's move on to the e-ticket section for this bit of the show. Let's see if we can get through this without them sending any nasty comments to me on Skype. So, once again, in the e-ticket section, we bring you the news specifically relevant if you are visiting Walt Disney World over the next couple of weeks. For this show, we are looking at the period of Wednesday, July the 8th to July the 22nd. Juz has already started. So, opening hours then. We know you will plan your days and nights with military precision, but we just like to keep you all up to date with the park opening times. Now, for those of you who have never even before, been to the parks. They all open and close at different times. To confuse you even more, Disney have a perk for their own hotel guests called Extra Magic Hours, which I'll talk about a little bit later. It's also a good idea to check the park opening times before you go, which can be done at guest services locations or on the Disney website or by calling Disney Direct on 407 WDW Info, or you can call 704-939-4636. So, let's first turn to the Magic Kingdom. This is now open till at least 11 p.m. every night, apart from the 12th and 15th when it closes at 10 p.m. There are also a lot more days with Extra Magic Hours, which are times specially set aside in the morning or evening when the park will stay open for longer, but only, and this is the key part, for guests of the Disney resorts. So if you are staying on property, so to speak, then you will have extra hours to spend in the parks. Extra Magic Hour, as I've said, as either morning or evening, and a full list of them can be found at www.disneyworld.com and clicking on the calendar. Now, I know Craig's tip would be, if you want to use Extra Magic Hour, then use the evening ones, as A, you can still have your pancakes for brekkie at normal time, and B, it's fantastic fun to run around the parks at 2 a.m. Yeah, it really is. Also, if you are not staying in a Disney hotel, then our tip would be to maybe avoid the park with Extra Magic Hours in the morning, as you will find those a little busier than normal. Okay, so in July, the morning Extra Magic Hours are as follows in the Magic Kingdom. July, the 2nd, 7th, 9th, 14th, 16th, 21st, 23rd, 28th, and 30th. Epcot, July the 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th. Hollywood Studios, the 3rd, 6th, 10th, 15th, 17th, 20th, 24th, 27th, and 31st. Animal Kingdom, 1st, 4th, 8th, 11th, 13th, 18th, 22nd, 25th, and 29th. And July, the 2nd, 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th, Fort Blizzard Beach. The evening Extra Magic Hours, which are the ones where you really can stay till very late, is going to be the 3rd, 5th, 10th, 12th, 17th, 19th, 24th, 26th, and 31st for Magic Kingdom. You've got Epcot, July 2nd, 7th, 9th, 14th, 16th, 20th, 23rd, 28th, and 30th. Hollywood Studios, 1st, 4th, 8th, 13th, 22nd, and 29th. And Animal Kingdom, the 6th, 15th, 21st, and 27th. Now, during this time, the Animal Kingdom is open on most days until 7 p.m, with some nights even as late as 8 p.m. However, because of the heat, if you are planning a half day at the Animal Kingdom, then we would suggest maybe going there early in the morning, as you will see far few more animals on the safari than you will later. As mentioned, last time, Epcot is staying pretty constant on its opening time during this period, with Future World open until 7 p.m. and World Showcase open until 9 p.m. And finally, Hollywood Studios has varied closing times for this period, running from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. The key thing here, though, is to remember the days on which the magical, fantasmic nighttime spectacular is showing, as this has been cut back to a few shows a week. So for the dates we are looking at, again, 8th to the 22nd of July, Fantasmic is showing at both 9 and 10:30 on the 9th, 12th, 14th, 16th, 20th, and 21st. Also, there is not the best news, really, but if you like it, Sounds Dangerous starring Drew Carey is open on July the 6th to July the 31st. So Craig's going to have to make sure he goes and sees it as soon as he gets there. Attraction updates. Yeah, I know you love it, really. Attraction updates, we're not going to go through all of them, but as always, the list of current attractions and refurbs is available at the Disney Brit website, which is www.disneybrit.com/calendar.asp. As you know, although Sounds Dangerous is back, and we mock it a lot, as we've already said, the Yeti is now in full A mode as well, so a lot of great stuff to go and see because they've been updated recently. So, special events and news. Epcot's Sounds Like Summer Concert Series is in full swing. July the 7th to the 19th has the 52nd Street, a tribute to Billy Joel at the American Garden Theatre, and from July the 18th to the 26th, Sounds of the Supreme, a tribute show to the Supremes. All the show times are scheduled at 5:15, 6:30, and 7:45 and 9 o'clock. For the latest information and updated show times, please check the entertainment guide you receive when you enter the Epcot theme park. Also, check the American website for the parks, because they have now got detailed schedule times for all of the shows that are on during the week. So, Disney Cruises then. So if you're like me, you like to combine your visit to Disney World with the magic of a Disney cruise. And there are some special offers now running for the summer months whereby kids are 50% off. Now, if you go to the Disney Cruise Line and go to the kids 50% off this summer, you'll find that kids 12 and under get 50% off prevailing Disney Cruise Line fares at time of booking for most sailings between June the 25th to August the 20th. If you go to www.mousesavers.com and you can find out about that there. Now, you fancy a free night out? If you're feeling shattered and worn out and want to ease the flow of funds from your wallet a little, then a great free event is now back in the swing on Friday and Saturday evenings. The Kids Dance Party with JD runs every Friday and Saturday evening, weather permitting, in downtown Disney Marketplace. Now, whilst free to join in the location, it can be missed if you don't walk over to the right area. So make sure you walk over to the toy store, where in front of it you will see a gathering of young children with hula hoops or dancing the cha-cha slide or the hoedown throwdown. Now, the party is hosted by JD, a very energetic Disney cast member, and is great with the kids and adults alike. Now, the party runs for about 3 hours and you will indeed have a blast. So there is all the things that are happening over the next sort of couple of weeks. Make sure you enjoy yourself while you're over there, if you're going, and maybe we'll see you there.
You must walk feminine, talk feminine, smile and be
person that everyone turns to when they need to know anything Disney. Now, imagine that, but imagine it happening on a global scale. And our special guests today are four people who have been crowned as the queens of Disney knowledge. What these people don't know about Disney vacation planning isn't worth knowing at all. So, please welcome the creme de la creme of Disney tipsters, Joe Young, Margaret Fries, Amber Vaughan, and Tanya McNally of the Disney Moms panel. Hello, guys.
Hi.
Excellent. We just got a chorus of highs. It was lovely. Also joining me, as always, is Juz and Craig, and we're going to sort of delve into the world of the Disney Moms and find out a little bit more about each of them. So I think we'll start off with going lucky dip. I think, Amber, I think you're first up.
Oh,
and we just want to find out a little bit more about you and about yourself outside of Disney Moms. And I know on the information on the website, it says that you're currently studying for a degree in leisure and tourism at the moment.
Yes.
And is the Disney Moms panel helping you to obtain that? Is it something that you're able to use as part of your degree?
I just think, you know, the research that I do when I answer questions and, you know, helping people choose resorts and how to travel, different ways to get to Disney, I think it does help. Yes.
Great. So, yeah, a little bit of research useful for the degree as well.
Yes.
Your husband's a chef, is that right?
Yes. Yes, and he is.
Obviously, with him owning his... Does he own his own restaurant, work in a restaurant?
He is currently the head chef at a restaurant. He has big dreams of owning his own place. He wants to start a brew pub. He likes to brew beer and make homemade wine, so he has aspirations to own his own restaurant.
And do you take ideas from the restaurants, you know, and take them back to his restaurant, or take ideas and give him ideas, and does he use them?
Oh, yes. Anytime that we go anywhere, especially at Disney, there's so many different places and all kinds of different cuisine, and he always is gleaning ideas from different menus and taking them back and putting his own spin on them. So that's one of his favorite things to do when we go on vacation, is to try the different restaurants and, you know, try unusual things on the menus.
Great. That sounds great. Certainly sounds like an interesting take on the Disney side and sort of making it your own. Also, it says in your introduction on the site that you were talking about taking your son for his first official trip. I think you mentioned something about buying the years for him before
when
you went on your trip. So have you taken him now?
No, we are actually going in September. We're celebrating my daughter's fourth birthday, and we'll be down for 2.5 weeks, and that will be his first trip.
Excellent.
He just turned one in May, so I think that he'll be wide-eyed and have a good time.
With it being, what will you celebrate? Have you got anything special planned for the celebration?
Let's see. We, for my daughter's birthday, we're doing the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique and breakfast with Cinderella in the castle. And we're going on the new Pirate and Pals fireworks cruise that night. And, you know, we're doing a couple other little things for her, getting a cake. And I think just the whole trip, since we're going for such a long time, it's the longest time we've gone all at once. So I think it'll be fun for all of us.
Sounds great. That sounds really good. What sort of questions, then? Obviously, on the Disney Moms panel, you have to answer a lot of questions. What are your favorite sort of questions to answer?
Actually, my favorites are ones dealing with the Disney dining plan and restaurants. I don't know if my husband kind of rubs off on me. We're both kind of foodies, and I like to talk about food a lot. So my favorite questions are helping people get the most from their dining plan, or choosing which character meals to go to, which restaurants they might like the best or might fit best for their family, and helping people kind of, you know, figure out the dining aspect of their vacations.
And what's the most bizarre sort of question you've had sort of recently? Have you had something that's really made you laugh?
Oh, boy. I don't know. We've had a couple on the panel. I haven't had any real bizarre ones directed to me personally yet, but we've had a couple about bringing hermit crabs, if that's allowed, or just like kind of oddball questions like that. But they're all fun.
Excellent.
Okay, that's could they? Could they bring the crabs? Were they allowed
Disney
to bring them?
Disney does not allow pets, so that's the official word, is that pets aren't allowed. So I think that might span hermit crabs as well.
But if you're going to eat them, that might have been all right.
Yes.
If they were lunch. Okay, all right. Joe, hello, your turn.
Hi.
Hello. We had a look at your profile, and we're also Facebook friends, so I follow you on there, Joe. But you're a keen golfer, so obviously Florida and the golf courses over there must be a good draw for you. Have you tried any of the Disney courses out yet?
I haven't, actually, because we always go with our children. My husband has. Last trip, he went off and played Magnolia and had a great time while I stayed in the pool with the children. But when they're older, definitely. I can't wait.
So you end up at kind of winter Summerland, do you? Is that kind of the only golf course you get to go to?
Well, their mini golf is just so great compared to ours. So the girls absolutely love it. Really, really love it.
Oh, yeah, no, it's good fun. Okay, when you, it says on your profile, so your dad, when he took you there when you were nine, do you do similar things with your kids at Walt Disney World that your dad kind of did with you when you went? Do you try and kind of relive those memories?
We do, but there's so much more there now than there was when, like, the first time I went, it was only Magic Kingdom and Epcot. And I still make my children go on the Figment ride because that was my favourite then. But they don't really like it, but that's... they have good fun.
There's not many people that like that one anymore, I don't think. Controversial, sorry.
And the land as well. We have to do that one too, whether they like it or not. But, no, we actually do Disney quite differently because we always used to spend maybe 5, 6, 7 days there and then go off to the beach for a week or two. But... my children don't really like the beach, which is a bit strange. But so we spend 2 weeks at Disney doing everything Disney. So we get the most out of it.
That doesn't sound too bad, does it, really?
No, they really like it.
Now, Joe, as you're on the Disney Brit podcast and you're being the only Brit on the panel at the moment, how do you kind of find keeping in touch with the other mums? I know that you had a conference call the other night at kind of midnight or something. I mean, is that a normal thing, or do you kind of make the other 15 or 16 of them kind of do it in hours to suit you? How does that all work?
We have some at times to suit me and some at times to suit the ones that work. So I do get on some of them. But we chat every single day, the 16 of us. We're very close, actually. We're a great group. And being young, it doesn't matter.
So you don't have to kind of explain things to them that you say or anything like that? They're kind of pretty British averse now, are they?
I say, oh, I'll take the mickey out of you, and they really don't know what I mean. Yeah, there's some words that they don't quite understand, but they're learning.
Okay, and I suppose the last question, just to kind of be fair, because we asked Amber this, what sort of questions do you find that you're kind of drawn to on the panel, the ones you like to answer, Joe?
I actually like the dining ones too, especially snacks, if you're on the dining plan, because I just love finding all the really good snack things like funnel cakes and Mickey, the Goofy's Candy Counter and all those things. So it's nice to let people know that they don't just have to buy bottles of water and things. So that's good. And also, obviously, if any come in from English people, I'm really liking helping them.
Excellent. Okay, brilliant.
Great. Okay, let's move on to Margaret then. Margaret, you there?
I am.
It's
hello.
Your turn. Hello. Right, okay. So now on your sort of introduction on the website, it lists off a huge, huge number of responsibilities. I'm just going to list some of them now. We've got working as a paralegal, a PTA president, a district council president, and an executive officer for your local baseball team, to name but a few. So with all of those things that must take up most of your life, how on earth do you find time to do the Moms Panel as well?
Well, my 15 fellow panelists think I don't sleep, so that's part of the way. I do sleep, although I have for a very long time been someone that kind of operates on very little sleep, only a few hours an evening. So I'm up into the wee hours of the morning, usually shooting off emails or answering questions. I do a lot of multitasking. I'm a big multitasker, so I will be chatting on the phone, trying to work while I'm also answering emails and, you know, and trying to type something and stuff like that. So, but you know, all of those things I really love. Well, maybe not the paralegal sometimes, but the rest of it I really love. So, you know, with anything in your life, when you're doing things you enjoy, you find ways to make them fit. So. So I always trust maybe one day is devoted solely to baseball and then the next day is just completely PTA stuff. So I make it work.
So you set yourself days, you separate your week up into PTA day, Disney day, etc.
I do for the most part. I mean, obviously there are some days that something has to be done on three different, you know, organizations. And so then it becomes a matter of which is more important. I do that first and so on. But yeah, like I said, I really enjoy all of them, and so I find a way to make it work. I look basically a day ahead at a time. I don't look too much further than that and try and squeeze as much as I can into the one day and then go forward to the next day. So.
Excellent. Sounds very organized.
But I do sleep. I do sleep.
Excellent stuff. Right, you say that you visited Walt Disney World for every major holiday. So, you know, we're looking at Easter, Christmas, New Year, etc. What is your favorite? Which one of those?
Certainly it's Christmas. I love the Christmas holiday to begin with. It's my favorite holiday of the year. But to me, hands down, there's nothing like being in Disney World at the Christmas time. Maybe not even the Christmas day itself, but just that general period from like Thanksgiving through New Year's. Parks are amazing with their decorations and the special events and the things going on, and I can't find a better time of the year for us to honestly be there. So easily it would be Christmas time.
And with you going so regularly, obviously you have the opportunity to try all of the different hotels, and I think you've tried out nearly all of them. Do you have many left that you haven't tried? Are you planning on going to these and making it a full house?
I do have two that we have not tried yet. One of them is Old Key West. We're Vacation Club members, so we have stayed a lot at the villas, and I have actually not stayed at Old Key West, which was the original Vacation Club property, so that's kind of odd. But that's one that I'm imagining we'll get to. It just hasn't worked itself into our schedule. And then the other one I haven't stayed at yet is Polynesian, and I'm actually going to be staying there in December when we go down for our family vacation. So we're very excited about that.
Great. Do you have a favorite? Is there a favorite out of all of those?
There is. The Beach Club, the whole Epcot resort area, we really love. The Boardwalk and the Beach Club specifically, but easily the Beach Club. If we had to pick, we would pick the Beach Club.
Excellent.
Okay, Tanya, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you. I'm going to start by something that we read all of your profiles earlier, and I was reading yours with my wife, actually, and she thought it was hilarious that you're the VP for household, because she's my director of domestic engineering at home here.
Excellent.
So you have similar roles. Also, you've got a wonderful title of the kindergarten class mum.
I do. What does that mean? I have a 6-year-old little boy who is just finishing up kindergarten, and I am his class mom, which means I take care of all the little parties and field trips and different events for his class. I help out as teacher, which is a lot more fun than the job I had as a VP in an investment bank a couple of years ago.
Yeah, slightly different ends of the scale, but probably far more rewarding than the one you're doing now, yeah?
Yeah, way more fun.
You seem to have stayed in all of, probably almost the East Coast DVC resorts. Which one's your favorite?
Well, I actually have to echo Margaret's sentiments. We love the beach club, but we're staying at the new Kidani Village in August. Okay. So I have a sneaky suspicion that we might switch once we stay there. I'll let you know.
Yeah, that does look very nice, doesn't it?
Yeah, my boys are animal fanatics, so they're very excited, as are we.
Brilliant.
Let's find out a little bit more about the Moms Panel themselves now. Obviously, we know about you guys, and there's probably people who've been listening to this interview for the past 15 minutes or so saying, we have no idea what on earth you're talking about. So what is the Moms Panel? Can you somebody tell us what exactly you are? It's the Moms Panel. Can you somebody tell us what exactly you are?
Sure, I'll jump in. It's Tanya. We are a group of 16 people from around the United States, and we have Joe from the UK, who basically entered a contest about a year ago, and we serve as an online forum for Walt Disney World, and we answer guest questions regarding any number of topics on helping them plan a vacation to Walt Disney World. We're actually the second class, so to speak, of panelists. The first class was last year, and we started in January of 2009, and our tenure ends in December.
Oh, right, so it's just a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Great, okay. So we'll go to Margaret, actually, as you are the time management specialist, I think. What sort of time dedication do you have to give to this? Is there a certain amount of time each day you must give to the project, or, you know, are you allowed to come in and out as often or as little as you choose?
There isn't anything specifically per day. They do ask that we answer a minimum of 15 questions a week, and we're allowed to kind of set our weeks as we want. I think some of us work on like a Sunday to Saturday week, some, you know, Monday through Sunday or whatever. And if we want to sit down and answer, you know, 15 in one day, that's fine with them. If we want to answer, you know, two a day, if we want to answer more than 15, which I really honestly believe most of us do, almost every week. I mean, sometimes we have weeks that are busier and we may only get 15 in, but you know, we're more than welcome to answer more than 15, and there's certainly more than that coming in that we could answer, but that's the minimum requirement that we have to fill for them.
Roughly how many do you think you get a week? You know, how many questions come in?
I guess I would have to say probably on an average there's quite a few hundred that are coming in. I don't know that we don't see them coming in like in bulks where, because what it is it's like an almost like an email box that they come into that we access. So when we go into the email box, we all share it and we just see the lump questions there. And I mean, I would have to say there's quite a few hundred at any given time. So whether or not it was, you know, 20 that came in today and 80 yesterday, we don't see it that way. It's just quite a few hundred that we're working off of probably at any given time. And it may even be more. I mean, it's certainly at times that the travel season is peaking, our questions peak. And then there may be a month that, you know, obviously Disney has months that are a little bit slower. Our questions may go down slightly, but there's plenty there for us to answer by all means.
Oh, my goodness. It's keeping you busy. You're obviously all extremely knowledgeable about Disney to get through the interview process, and you absolutely love Disney, which is, you know, as we all do. But I'm interested as what sort of training you got from Disney. Did you kind of all get an expenses paid trip down to the park? Have you had to go through, you know, any sort of courses for Disney before they let you loose? What was the process? What happened?
Well, we went down for a trip. Disney flew us all in December of last year for, I think it was 5 days. And we all stayed at the Coronado Springs Resort, and we kind of did a lot of different things. We had a lot of meals together and went on some resort tours and checked out, you know, some of the new things that Disney was offering. And we had a day where we sat sort of in a classroom setting, and they showed us the ins and outs of how to log into the website and how to answer the questions, like how to, you know, choose a question and work the, you know, the back end of the website and submit our answers. And we had a couple like a Q&A session with people from like PhotoPass or dining and beverage, and just all like the new things that they were bringing out for the celebration theme this year.
Yeah.
And we just really spent a lot of time bonding with each other as a group, and we all got really close and, you know, shot our videos at Epcot that you see on our biographies. And basically, it was just a real bonding experience. It was a lot of fun.
And sorry, Adam, do they plan to send you back again during the year, or is that? Oh, and I know you guys are going down for holidays and stuff, but have you got to kind of meet up there again?
We're meeting, we're all doing it under our own steam, but in September for the Expedition Everest 5K. And I'm making it too, which is really good. So I think all of us are going, which would be really, really good fun.
So you obviously, this is sort of an unofficial gathering that you're all going to be able to take part in. Are you all running the 5K?
running the loop.
Some of us are crawling.
Because you're taking part in the 5K in some way.
Yeah.
And you say that obviously you had in these 5 days all these question and answer things, and they just threw information at you over and over again. Did Disney expect you to come away from that and just remember it all and get on with it? Or do you have some sort of resource that you're available, you know, almost like a bat phone, I suppose, that you can pick up and call somebody if you don't know the answer to a particular question?
It's yes, Margaret here. You know, they... go ahead. Go ahead. Who's on there? Go ahead.
That was Joe.
Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, okay. Norma, who's our kind of boss, we can phone her with any problems we have or any questions. And we've also got a great lady called Tina who finds out anything that we don't know the answer to. But obviously, the internet, we can find out loads from the internet or just by calling different resorts or PhotoPass or anybody directly. So we have ways to find out.
And I think the most important question, I suppose, is once you've rung Disney and they've given you the information, and then you maybe go to write something down and you feel you've got a really strong opinion against something, because it's a Disney-owned site, does Disney say you must only write things that we approve, or are you able to write whatever you want?
Yeah, we're not edited at all. In fact, several of us have posted opinions about particular restaurants or other things that, you know, where we wouldn't necessarily recommend them for a particular family, for example. In fact, recently somebody asked me about Coral Reef, and they asked if it was a good choice for folks who don't eat seafood, and I posted something about not really liking the chicken dish that I had there. So they absolutely don't edit us for our opinions, and in fact, they encourage us to be very honest about our experiences,
which is great, because it then sort of gives the forum a bit of an integrity, I suppose, in the fact that that it isn't Disney making it all nice and pretty. It's actually the honest truth from you guys, which is great.
They consider us independent contractors.
And if there's, you know, I mean, some of us, they've even said, like, if you prefer to stay off property, or, you know, if you don't like using Disney's transportation, we're free to tell people that, too. Wow. Although I think for the most part, the 16 of us, you know, really do prefer to stay on property and things like that. But, you know, if you have an off-site vacation villa that you like to use, we're free to tell people that. So,
excellent.
Yes.
That's probably answered my question. Sorry, go on, Joe.
The only thing we get edited from is to make sure we don't swear, which we wouldn't do anyway.
the automatic censorship comes in. My question was, one, that you probably aren't, but I'm checking, you're not classed as cast members or employees, are you, by Disney? You're kind of free-thinking Disney fans, is that right?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. But do you get any Disney perks?
Talking to you.
This is a perk for us. It's really nice.
You just become my favourite Disney mum. I'm going to put your name at the top of the list.
But they're staying on for next week as well, Anna.
Yeah. All compliments are welcome.
Exactly right, yes.
Right, so we found out a little bit about you. We found out a little bit about the Disney Moms panel. But what we've done is we've, over the past sort of week or so, I've been putting some things up on our Twitter site. We've been putting things up on the Facebook page, and we've emailed some of our listeners and sort of said, look, you've got the opportunity now to ask a question to one of the Disney Moms. You haven't got to submit it to the website. They're coming on the show. This is your big, big opportunity. What we've got here is five questions, and we want you guys to, one at a time, and we'll go through... Let's go through the same order we went through early when we introduced everybody. And you've got to pick a number between 1 and 5, and we're going to ask you that particular question. And it may be a question you know the answer to really well, or maybe you need somebody to support you, and that's fine. And then anybody else who's got anything they want to say afterwards, then feel free to sort of jump in. That's not a problem whatsoever. So we're going to start off with Amber then. So, Amber, choose a number between 1 and 5.
I think I'll go with number 2.
Okay, number 2. That's Craig's going to ask that question. Go on then, Craig.
Okay, all right, I've just lost the questions now. right, here we go, Epcot-y question. What is the view of Illuminations like from a cruise, and can this be done on Breathless 2? And unfortunately, I don't know who that question came from. We haven't got a name for that, so sorry, listener, but go for it.
Okay, I have never personally done the Illuminations cruise at Epcot. I believe that the cruise stops under the bridge. My other moms can correct me if I'm wrong, under the bridge on the lagoon to view Illuminations. So I'm pretty sure that you have an up-close and personal, you know, front row view of the show. No one's going to be in front of you. It's unobstructed, no trees or anything in your way. So, I mean, I think it would be a great thing to do if it's within your budget and it's something you would like to do. I would say go for it. I'm not sure what boat does it. I don't know if anyone can jump in and chime in on that.
I've only done it once, and it was quite some time ago. I know our Disney mom, Kay, I think is, if I'm not mistaken, right, girls? She's a big one on the Illuminations cruise.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I could have swore she went this very last time she was there, just a few weeks ago, and I thought she did say that Breathless was the boat they used, but unfortunately Kay's not with us to confirm that. I'm almost positive that that is what she told us.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
And can I say big kudos to Amber for answering that question really well, even though she's never been on it. That was superb.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Joe, it's your turn.
Okay.
Right. Number three. Okay. So question three. Okay. It's a bit of a long-winded one, so you have to stick with it. So, question three is this. It's from Danny, and it reads: we're hoping to get back to Walt Disney World next year. Depending on the strength of the pound, we may well opt out for the Disney dining plan. Now, my question is about my youngest son, who will be 10 when we go back. In the eyes of Disney, this makes him an adult for the Disney dining plan. He will probably want to eat from the children's menu on most occasions, and I obviously don't want to spend an adult credit on this. So can the rest of us use the Disney dining plan and we pay cash for our 10-year-old's dinner? By doing this, we can use his credits towards dining experiences that require 2 credits, or do we all have to use the Disney dining plan credit? So I think it, quite simply it is, he's got a Disney dining plan credit for his son. Can they pay for him for a child one and use his credits towards them using maybe a 2-credit meal for something like Hoop-De-Doo, I think it is, or something like that?
Right. Oh, he has to have the dining plan because everybody in the room has it, but I think that the person knew that. As far as I know, which obviously it's up to each restaurant, but yes, they could do that. They could order him off the children's menu and pay for that themselves and just use their own adult credits on themselves and then save them up.
Okay, so it's definitely that's brilliant that you can actually do that. Has anybody else got anything different, or anybody agree? Is that something?
Yeah, I would agree with Joe.
Cool. So, Tanya, are you in agreement with Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I know we've used the dining plan a number of times, and either I or my husband or my kids or somebody was not hungry, and we did not, you know, we weren't charged our credit whether or not we chose a meal. In fact, I know that there was one time where I didn't feel like using a whole credit, so I just ordered an appetizer, paid for it in cash, and saved the credit for another meal.
Excellent. That's brilliant. There we go.
Brilliant news. Yeah.
I didn't know that, so that's a great little tip. Okay, excellent.
You know, we've done the same thing, but just to point, I mean, and Joe did point that out, but just to let people know that they really should talk to the cast member at the time to let them know that's, you know, that they're not using 4 credits or whatever ahead of time, because I think some of the restaurants, Joe mentioned, you know, it's up to the restaurant's discretion, but just so you're not charged at the end and there's a whole confusion over it, just say, you know, there's only 3 of us using our dining credit, the rest we're going to pay in cash. And typically our experience has been they're fine with that, but it's always best to talk to them ahead of time so there's no problems at the end when the check comes and you've been charged a credit for something or whatever.
Thank you for pointing that
out. We've definitely done that. We've let the cast member know ahead of time what we intend to do.
So the answer is, yes, you can definitely do it. Just make sure you check with the cast member beforehand that they're happy with everything and that they know what's going on.
Correct.
And if I could chime in on that, too, real quick. A lot of times, too, I know if you want to order something like chicken nuggets off of the children's menu, they will give you a larger portion, a more adult-sized portion, if you're kind of like on the adult plan. I know it's also up to each individual restaurant, but I have had that experience also where they will give you maybe like a double kids portion to kind of make it more worth your credit.
Right, excellent.
No, that's good.
So, Joe, you're going to say something?
We've had that too, because we've had the free dining a couple of times, so we didn't need to get our value from it, so to speak. And my girls were maybe a bit fussy in a restaurant and wanted the children's chicken nuggets, and they brought them out a big size portion. And also with the dessert as well, they brought them a big size children's dessert. So it's, you just have to ask, be nice, polite, smile, and they'll have to give you what you want.
Great. Okay, let's move on to Margaret then. You've got the choice of question 1, 4, or 5. Which one are you going for?
I'll go with 5, I guess.
5. Okay, here we go. Question 5 is Craig.
Okay, all right. Hi, Margaret.
Hello.
My question is, and this comes from Joe Carter, a good friend of our show. If I was taking somebody along for their first ever Disney World trip, what can I do to prepare them for this unique trip? What would kind of be your, I say, kind of your top tips for a newbie?
I'm assuming the newbie is kind of an adult age. I would say to prepare them, obviously, for the amount of walking. And if they're not used to heat, you know, even in the cooler months, Florida can tend to be warmer than probably what most people are expected used to. So certainly prepare them for a lot of walking and warm temperatures and a lot of patience because, you know, there are lines. Even when you go during the slow months, you're going to have to wait. You're not the only one there. So I think that's the first thing. The other thing is to sit down with them either using Disney World's website or our site or the podcasts or traveling books and go through it with them and kind of explain to them the layouts of the parks. Especially for people that have never been there before, it's so funny. Sometimes we'll get a question to the site, and it'll say, you know, I'm coming to Disney World, and I can do it all in one day, right? You know, they have, I think, this concept that it's just one big park, and it's all there, and they can get it all done. So to let them see that, you know, there's multiple parks, and each one has a theme, and there's certain things that each park, you know, is known for, and to kind of decide what is most important to this person that's coming. You know, do they want to see the shows, or would they rather ride the attractions, or do they want to focus on dining at the restaurants, and make a list, because they're not going to be able to see it all. And if they're not familiar with that, they might be slightly disappointed once they get there, you know, expecting to be able to do everything and then certainly getting there and not being able to. So to kind of have a plan of attack going in is probably the best way to start with them. That way they don't have strange expectations or get there and be overwhelmed or, you know, be disappointed or anything like that. And then I think certainly just to, you know, to plan on how you want to attack the parks. Are you an early riser? Do you want to get up and try and make it to extra magic hours? Do you want to sleep in and stay out late? Do you just want to do a few things and then hang out at the resort? There's certainly different ways to attack the attractions in the parks. And, you know, do you mind waiting in line for the perfect spot to see Wishes? Or is it more important to you to, you know, avoid Wishes and maybe get on Space Mountain for a second time and kind of have an idea of how you want to plan it out with them and what's important to them?
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Wow, now that was an answer and a half.
Hey, so you want to save that one? Save that, that on your site.
Yeah, save that one, definitely. Write that one down. And it's quite interesting you say that, and I don't know whether Joe can help and chime in with this, because I'm going out in August, and we've got two people coming with us who have never been to a Disney resort ever. And one of the guys coming with us is really concerned, and I think he's a little bit worried that he thinks he's just going to Alton Towers, which is a theme park here in the UK that's not... It's all right, but it's nothing compared to a Disney park. And we're trying to get into him that it's nothing like Alton Towers, and it doesn't matter what we say. It just, I don't think it's going to hit him until we get there, and it's about trying to prepare him for that. Then, Joe, have you got any help with, you know, from a UK point of view, how we might be able to help him with that one?
Well, whenever I go to Chessington, I find myself going, "Oh, Disney would do this better. Disney yeah. wouldn't do this. It's terrible." So, but yeah, it is so different to anything in the UK. It really is. Just everybody seems to be friendly. Everywhere is clean. But for a UK perspective, I think the start, you've got to make sure that you don't try to do too much to start with the jet lag, because you will be worn out, and with the heat in August as well, just take it easy for the first few days, go home, go back, have swims, and don't try and do everything, because you can always go back, like, you know, another time, another visit. It's always time to go again.
Okay, great, thank you. Tanya, then, you're the last one. You've only got two to choose from. You've got number one and number four.
All right, I'll go for number one.
Okay, number one. So, it's a couple here, and they're going out to Disney World for a 40th birthday celebration. What they're saying is, do you think the Yacht and Beach Club is the right place for two adults and no children to celebrate a 40th birthday, or do you think there might be somewhere else they could stay? And that's from Hayden.
Okay, I actually think the Yacht and Beach Club is the perfect place for two adults to celebrate a 40th birthday party. In fact, when my husband and I were engaged and did not have children, we stayed at the beach club as a couple. I think it's very romantic. The whole idea of being out on the boardwalk, you know, walking around at night is fantastic. There are a ton of upscale eateries where they can enjoy a nice romantic dinner. We love Flying Fish. You can also walk over to the Swan and Dolphin Hotel, which has some fantastic restaurants as well. We really enjoy doing illuminations, being able to access Epcot through that World Showcase entrance at the back of the park is really great. Going in there for dinner, checking out illuminations, and then heading out to enjoy some of the entertainment on the boardwalk at Atlantic Dance or Jelly Rolls, for example, I think are great adult entertainment options. So I actually think that's the perfect spot to for a couple to celebrate a 40th.
And of course, the one thing, a romantic meal at Beaches and Cream, with the ending being, of course, nothing other than a kitchen sink.
Yeah, I must say, no vacation is complete without a visit to Beaches and Cream for my family, that's for sure.
Have the moms panel shared a kitchen sink yet?
No,
but you've just given us a great idea. In fact, Mark and I are going to be there in a few days together.
Yep. There we go.
Lots of things to do, Margaret.
But why not there have it go. As a celebration for completing the Everest Challenge? There we go.
No. Oh, exactly. That will put the energy levels right up.
Well, there's all of you answered a question. And actually, the question we've got left... everybody can answer it, almost like it's worked out perfectly, and it's this. It says, I have a question for you. How do you get to be a member of the Disney Moms panel? I've been a fanatical fan for as long as I can remember, even more now that I have a two-year-old. We go to the parks about once a week. If you have this information, and can you pass it on, I would be really appreciate it. So you've all done the Disney Moms panel, and that's from me. No, it's not from me. come on, how did you get on? What's the secret? Take it in turns. Let's start. Let's go through all of you, and we'll start off with Joe.
Okay. I actually applied for it in 2008, but Well, I didn't get around to applying for it because, sorry, start again. I saw it advertised on a newsletter such as All Ears and Mouse Savers, and it said that they were looking for a Disney World Mums panel. I actually saw it last year, and I went and saw what the questions were. It was three essay questions, only about 100 words, and I thought, oh, I'll think about that. And by the time I went back to fill it in, it all shut and gone. Well, this year I was just determined not to miss it, so I just wrote anything, the first thing that came into my head, and somehow got through to the next round, which again was another three questions. I think there was about 20,000 applicants for the first round, and then we got down to a final interview round, which was a telephone interview, which we which was interesting for a conference call, the delay from England as well, with about six of them on the other end. And that was it, really. It was three interviews. So quite straightforward and easy, and it should, if anything happens again, it should be advertised again in the newsletters. Or just keep a look on the Walt Disney World site.
Okay, cool. Amber, what about you?
Same thing as Joe. In 2008, I saw that they were looking for this panel, but after I had already saw about it, it was over with. They already had reached their, you know, maximum amount of applicants. So, you know, I said the same thing to myself. Oh, you know, I'll see. Maybe, you know, next time. So I, you know, saw the announcement. I bookmarked it on my computer the very first day they were taking applications. I just sat down and wrote out my three essay questions. And I believe the questions were... tell us about yourself, about how you plan Disney vacations, and your best Disney World tip. And so I answered them and didn't really think much of it. Couple, like a month or so later, I got an email saying I had made it through to the second round. Three more questions. And, you know, then I started getting nervous and checking my email constantly to see if I, you know, had any updates, if I, you know, made it through. And I was shocked when I, you know, got the email that I was moving on to the third round and scheduled my phone interview. And of course, afterwards, I thought I totally, you know, screwed it up and there was just no chance at all. And here I am. So it was just all about being yourself. And just I think, you know, they can see how much we all love Disney and we all enjoy helping people plan their vacations. And that's just really how it happened.
Excellent. Okay, Tanya, what about yourself? Was it different for you?
My experience pretty closely parallels Amber's. I didn't know about the contest the first year, learned about it after the fact, and then bookmarked my Outlook to apply. I think it was September 19th when it opened up and I answered my questions. In terms of, and I agree about, we were all very honest, and I think we all offer our own unique perspectives on our experiences with Disney. Some of us have little small children. Some of us have older or adult kids. We have a grandma on the panel. I know I have a child with special needs. So I really talked a lot about experiencing Disney with a kid with special needs and, you know, his unique perspective on vacationing. So I think we were all just very honest, talked about why we love Disney, why it's, you know, individual and unique for our families. And I was just really lucky to meet these great 16 folks. I know we've all said it, but we've become unbelievable friends in the last year and wouldn't have traded this experience for anything.
And last but not least then, Margaret.
And my experience was actually slightly different than the other three young ladies because I did apply in 2008 for the panel. I had seen it on, I think, Passporters or the Disney site or something. And I actually made it all the way to the phone interview in 2008 and was not one of the 12 selected and was devastated and crushed. And when 2009's year came up, like when they started looking for this year's panel, I actually didn't apply right away because I kind of did the whole second guessing myself, like if I didn't get it last year, maybe I don't know as much as I think I know, and kind of waited a little bit and then figured, you know what, I can't pass this up. Something really is telling me I need to do this again. And I applied, and when I got the email telling me I was advanced to the next round, I thought, gosh, they must not realize they didn't want me last year. and then I got the email telling me that I had made it to the phone interview, and I thought, again, you know, this must be a horrible trick someone's playing on me. And I went ahead with the phone interview. But the nice thing was going into the phone interview this year, I think the first year when I did it, I was really trying to maybe not be myself, like sell them on something. And I'm sure they kind of picked up on that a little bit. Like I kind of lacked the confidence in my own planning expertise. And then when I did the phone interview the second time around, I kind of was more myself. Like I was very much, you know, I believe that I know what I know, and this is where, you know, I need to show them what I know, and was much more comfortable the second time around, and was so excited when I got the call and screamed and cried and jumped up and down, and everything works out the way it should, because I cannot even imagine working with 15 people that I love more than the 15 that I'm with right now. So we always joke around about the fact that myself and actually there's two others on the panel that were like rejects from the year before, but we're now on the panel this year and we're loving it, and it's been the best experience of my life. It really has been.
Excellent. So all slightly different experiences of how you got onto the Mons panel. So we're going to sort of, to end with, we're going to come round to each of you, and you've got to tell us your favourite Disney attraction out of all the ones at Walt Disney World. Which one is your favourite? So we'll go in the same order again. We'll do Joe, Amber, Tanya, Margaret. So what's your favourite?
I have to say Test Track. Everybody that knows me will just die laughing because they all know us as the Test Track family. I think last trip we went on it 14 times.
So, oh, my goodness.
And we have to pull a fun face at the camera every time for the photo pass photo. So, no, that's definitely our favourite.
Amber?
Okay. Actually, my favourite has changed since I've taken my daughter to Disney, and I have to say that Dumbo is my favorite at the time being, just because it was the first thing that she rode there. And before we took her on her first trip, she saw Dumbo on TV, of course, in the commercials, and I showed it to her on the website, and she was just so excited, and her face lit up, and it was just her, you know, the reaction that she had. It was the favorite thing that we did the whole trip. We rode it multiple times, and so I have to say, even though the line can be long and hot, Dumbo is my favorite because of the experience I had with my daughter.
Yeah, that's one of the rides that's always overlooked by people as being a classic, and people see it as that ride that's got long queues that just goes round for a bit and that's it. I don't necessarily appreciate just what that ride is.
Yes, for a 2-year-old, it's a lot more than that, and you know, seeing that in her, it changed my perspective on Disney totally.
Great. Okay, Tanya, what's yours?
My answer is similar to Amber's. My answer would have been Space Mountain, but since I have two little boys, it is now definitely It's a Small World. My kids are totally engrossed in learning about different cultures and people from different worlds. So we go through that ride and we talk about all the different countries and look at the different dolls and sing the cheesy song. And we definitely go on at least 5 or 6 times every trip. So definitely Small World.
And Margaret, what about you?
Oh, I know that my fellow friends here are going to be so amazed by my answer. It's Pirates of the Caribbean. I am a huge pirate nut, and I like to start and end almost every vacation if I possibly can on Pirates of the Caribbean. And I actually am headed down next weekend with some of my fellow friends, including Tanya, simply because they're opening the Pirate League down there, and I have to be there. So anything in the word pirates to me is top on the list. So certainly Pirates of the Caribbean.
Great, some real mixture of rides there. Okay, last one then, and we're going to let you go. If you had one quick, short tip, if someone came to you and said, what is your number one tip for going to Walt Disney World, what would that one tip be? Let's start off with somebody else this time. Let's start off with Amber. What would yours be?
My tip would be just to realize that you can't do everything, to choose one or two things in each park that you're going to visit that you absolutely must do, and make sure that you do those, and just to relax and just take it all in, because there's really nothing else that can compare to being at Disney. So I hate to see people stressed out and upset and, you know, worrying about getting from point A to point B. You should just relax, take a deep breath, and just soak in the magic.
Cool. Okay. Margaret?
Make your dining reservations 90 days in advance, if at all possible. The restaurants down there are so amazing, and they're becoming more and more popular. And certainly things like the free dining promotion and things like that are increasing their popularity. And I hate standing there waiting to be seated and seeing people come up all upset and frustrated and arguing with the cast members because they've walked up that day and they expect in the middle of July to be able to get a table in, you know, the most popular restaurant like Chef Mickey's at 5 o'clock and then be upset and their vacation's ruined because they couldn't. So make your list of where you want to eat at least a few of your favorites and call that 90 days in advance and make your dining reservations.
Great. Yeah, really good tip.
Good tip. I know, yeah.
A lot of people don't necessarily think about the 90 days. They just say, oh, when I say to people, what ADRs have you booked? What do you mean?
Exactly. Mm.
And they don't even think about the fact they need to book their restaurants. Okay, Tanya, what about yours? What's your tip?
I would encourage everybody in a particular family going down to make an itinerary of their top 3 or 4 attractions for their vacation. Obviously, Disney is a huge place, and there's no way to possibly take in everything in one trip. But by enabling everybody to sort of prioritize what their top things are, it gives everybody in a family a chance to see the things that they most want to do. And it really helps small children help participate in the planning and the fun, too.
And as we are the Disney Brit podcast, we've got to end with a Brit. So, Joe, what's your tip?
My tip, which my family does most days, get there early. Get to the parks for what's called the rope drop when the park opens. You can get so many rides done, honestly. We can do the whole of Fantasyland at Magic Kingdom in an hour. And then you can relax and go around the rest of the park. And then go home, go back to the hotel, have a rest, a swim, whatever you need to do. Because it'll just make your day more enjoyable. But definitely get there for when it opens. Oh, and drink lots of water.
Yes, another good tip. Well, thank you guys for coming onto the show. I think you've more than proved that you are definitely all worthy candidates for being members of the Moms Panel. I think every single tip, every single answer to every single question you've given us has been fantastic and so worthwhile. And hopefully the people who listen to the show will learn something that they don't already know. And I wish you guys the best of luck with the rest of this year. Enjoy yourself, those of you going out in a week or so. And good luck with running the Expedition Everest 5K challenge. And make sure you eat that kitchen sink and you enjoy that. So thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And sorry.
One more thing.
Yeah.
At the moment, if you're answering a question from the UK, the website redirects you to the UK site. Now, what most people might not see is that there's a little link on there at the top left-hand side called Visit US Site. If they push that and then go back to the Mums Panel, they'll be able to ask a question.
And can someone just give us the web address just so people know where to go?
It's Disney World Moms, not spelled our way, spelled MOM.com.
Excellent. So DisneyWorldMoms.com. Get over there. Make sure you go and give them some interesting questions for them to answer. Nothing to do with hermit crabs. We've had enough of them. That's fine. But thank you, guys. Thank you for coming on. And good luck with the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As we've just walked out of Walt's American restaurant over at on Main Street and just enjoyed a nice meal, we thought we'd share with you, you know, what we thought of the food, the atmosphere, the situation itself. So, first off, food, what do you think?
I mean, we had originally gone for the €19 deal.
Yes.
Which we suddenly found out that it's not available at weekends.
No, it's only available during the week, unfortunately. We're here on a Saturday, so we decided to go for something else. We went for the Walt's Gourmet Burger, didn't we?
We did indeed, with something on top which we weren't sure at the time what
no.
it was.
So we thought, we smelled it, thought it smells a bit like eggs. So we ate it, and then we looked at the menu again.
And it wasn't egg.
No, it's foie gras, wasn't it? It was duck liver. I've never eaten before.
But I can't see the point because it tastes like scrambled eggs.
It does taste like scrambled eggs. But the food itself was lovely. There was plenty of it. I can't complain about that.
Yeah, the service was excellent.
Service was excellent. We were really lucky that we were given a window as well, right by Main Street. So we were able to look down onto Main Street. And we timed our meal just right so that we were able to watch the parade as we were eating our dinner.
Yeah, I think we'd actually virtually finished at that point, and there was no pushing us to get us out.
No.
It was very much like, we know you're here to watch the parade, and same with the table next to us.
Yeah.
They'd finished. It was like, yeah, fine, tea time, you're here for the parade, have a look at it.
Now, we were in the Main Street room.
Yeah.
It's split up into five different rooms. Each of the rooms has a different theme to it, basically to do with a different land. We were in a Main Street room. And the interesting thing is, we were there, I know we were there quite late, it wasn't necessarily rush hour, but it was still really, really quiet inside.
Yeah, I think the problem is what sometimes is it's forgotten restaurants, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It almost blends in as a shop or something as you're walking down. And it's an amazing, memorabilia. Some of the pictures there were fantastic.
Well, it's actually upstairs, and you enter downstairs, and then there's a huge stair, a big staircase that you walk up, and as you go up, there are just photos of Walt Disney throughout his career, throughout his life. And we spent some time downstairs just looking at the photos and the things that were there, and then we gradually made our way up the stairs. It took us some time to get up there. But it's not the cheapest restaurant. You know, our burgers cost us nearly €25, which, especially in current economic climate, is quite expensive. But I think the food was still very, very nice.
It wasn't a burger like a kiosk burger.
This is a gourmet burger.
And it was definitely, it was a high-class burger.
Oh, yeah, it definitely was. And it was waffle fries, not normal, the high-class fries.
Oh, posh fries.
Posh fries.
And bear in mind, we also got warm bread and butter.
Well, we did get warm bread and butter. Now, obviously, Waltz is the place that we're going to be coming to as part of Mouse Meets. We're going to be holding our Dinner with an Imagineer event there. There's going to be more details that are going to follow with regards to that. But is it somewhere, you know, would you eat there again?
I've come down here with the family once before. Really enjoyed it in one of the other room areas. It is expensive, but saying that, I think the whole atmosphere, it's a fantastic place to eat. The styling is great. And the food, it is very highbrow food.
Yeah.
And some of the comparisons of prices where you go in other areas of the park is not too far different.
No, and I think it's somewhere that I had never eaten in before, and I know, and I now have. And it's certainly somewhere that, you know, if I'm coming and I want a really decent meal, it's definitely a place I'm going to think about looking at next time I come.
And definitely if you come down during the week and you get that €19 I think that's a really good deal, because they're doing it all over the park, but that would be a perfect place to have it.
Yeah, definitely, without a shadow of a doubt. So do go to Walt's Smoker Restaurant. It's sort of down on the left-hand side of Main Street as you're in the Disneyland Park. And, you know, if you do eat there and you have eaten there, please do send us in your reviews of what you thought. What was your experiences of the food, of the service, things like that. I'd be really interested to hear. So you send your emails at disneybrit@hotmail.com. Welcome to the 12th edition of the Disney Brits Trivia Quiz. We are going to give you the answers in this episode of the show. So let's see, out of the 8 questions, how many did you get correct? So let's start off at question one then. For 100 points, the easy one of the round. What is the name of Mickey Mouse's dog? And of course, the answer is Pluto. And Pluto appeared in 48 of his own cartoons, as well as appearing in many with Mickey and Donald. Although not originally named Pluto, he appeared as a bloodhound in the 1930 cartoon The Chain Gang, and then later as Minnie's dog Rover in The Picnic. In the following year, he became Pluto and was Mickey's faithful companion from then on. Pluto
further from the sun and Mercury's first. Question two, then, for 200 points. At the seas with Nemo and friends, guests take a ride through Nemo's underwater world. But what shape are the ride cars? They are clamshells. Now, before the addition of Nemo to the pavilion, guests would board sea cabs and travel through the underwater world guests experience today. In those days, the ride vehicles would face forwards. But when United Technologies withdrew their sponsorship in 1998, the sea cab section of the ride also began to disappear. In 2006, with the addition of Nemo to the attraction, the ride portion of the pavilion returned and now guests climb into clamshells. These are faced to the side, and guests view the same tank with the addition of Nemo and his friends. It's the planetary boogie. Mine's crazy planet. Question three for 300 points. What is the name of the pub in Epcot's UK pavilion? It is the Rose and Crown Pub and Dining Room, and the pub is designed to be quintessentially English. Staffed by British natives, you can go and enjoy usual British fare as well as a choice of famous British ales and beers. You can choose to sit out in the pub's beer garden or sit inside and join in with a game of cards whilst listening to some of the pub's live entertainment. Question four, then, for 400 points. Name the actor who stars in Sounds Dangerous. It is, of course, comedian Drew Carey. Now, this attraction was introduced to Disney's MGM Studios, now Hollywood Studios, during the advancement in binaural audio. Although some of the show used visuals, the entire audio was played through a set of headphones. Now, Drew Carey plays the role of an undercover detective named Charlie Foster, who was filming a pilot for a new cop show called Undercover Live. Foster attaches a small camera to his tie so that people watching the show can see his every move. But Foster manages to damage his camera and most of the show happens in the dark. Using 3D binaural technology, guests listen to this adventure as if it really is happening around them. Sounds include a swarm of bees and a hairdresser's. Then the flappers appeared on the scene. Rumble seats and 20 cent gasoline. Question five, then, for 500 points. What was the name of the Port Orleans Riverside Resort? It was originally called Dixie Landings Resort. The resort opened on the 2nd of February 1992 and was built in two phases. Phase one was the alligator bayou section of the resort with the Magnolia Bend plantation to follow in phase two. The resort changed its name on the 1st of March 2001. And guests staying at the resort around that time had letters sent to explain the changes, but there was never an explanation why. Some speculation rumoured that Disney were trying to play down the slavery links and signs at the resort were changed accordingly to this. Other rumours believed it was due to popularity. With Port Orleans next door with a bigger capacity, Disney were trying to incorporate them under the same banner to increase the original Port Orleans popularity. Dixie Landings became Port Orleans Riverside, and the original Port Orleans became Port Orleans French Quarter. Photography, candid shots of baby at play. Photo finishes. Tigers at bay, hey. Question six, then, for 600 points. In the ballroom scene of the Haunted Mansion, guests can see real ghosts. What is the name of the magical effect that helps create this? It is Pepper's Ghost. This trick dates way back to the mid-1860s, where illusionist John Pepper perfected the technique to use on stage. The trick involves the use of a piece of glass at a 45-degree angle to the viewer. When guests look through the glass, they see the room beyond it, but also see the image of things that are being reflected onto it. Question seven, then, for 700 points. In Alien Encounter, Tim Curry played the robot SIR, Sir, but what does it stand for? It stands for Simulated Intelligence Robotics. Sir was found in the second pre-show room of this attraction. With the help of an alien named Skippy, Sir demonstrated how creatures could be transported from one place to another. This part of the story was in preparation for what guests would experience in the main chamber. Look at the birdie. Question eight, then, 800 points, the hardest question of all. Which event happened in December 1974 that linked the Beatles to the Polynesian Resort?
It was indeed the place where John Lennon signed the dissolution agreement that ended the Beatles. Now, John Lennon was the final member of the Beatles to sign the agreement and ended the group's reign of the charts. Ringo Starr had previously signed it in London, but the other Beatles had agreed to meet at the Plaza Hotel in New York to sign the document. John Lennon didn't show, and instead, Mae Pang was sent to break the news. John Lennon agreed to meet his lawyers at the Polynesian Resort while making a visit to Disney World in December of that year, well, 29th of December to be exact, and it was here where the final Beatle signed to end it all. There you go, then. There are your eight questions, or the answers to your eight questions. Hopefully you got a lot of them right and did really, really well. Well done to Rod Smith, Hayden Pronto-Hussey, Chloe Ead, and Andrew Paul for getting all of those questions correct and sending in your email. And I put your names into a hat and pulled them out. And well done to you, Chloe. You are the winner of the Disney Brit Trivia DVD. Please do email us your address and we can get that sent out to you as soon as possible. Well, there you go. That is the 12th edition of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. Join us on the next episode for a special edition of the Trivia Quiz. So, until then, let's get on with the rest of the show. Although we brought you one of these on the last episode, we thought we'd give you another one because they're so great. And it is another one of Juz's Credit Crunch tips. So, Juz, what is your Credit Crunch tip for this episode?
Well, can I use your one you just scared me, which is stay at home and then you don't have to spend anything?
If you want to, yeah.
Which is just a direct jibe at the fact that I'm not going to the States this year.
Oh, you're not?
Oh, no, you haven't said.
Who is going?
No, don't worry about it.
Okay.
No.
So this is not the time to tell you that one afternoon we're going out to Craig's Villa and he's doing a barbecue.
Ah, but you say Craig's Villa, it's somewhere in Tampa and it's a trailer.
It's fine. As long as he's got a barbecue, I don't care.
Exactly. And a fridge full of beer.
Barbecue's a backfire.
Anyway, come on. What is your Credit Crunch tip?
Well, to be honest with you, I've done lots of Credit Crunch tips, but I've not done one for Disneyland Paris, I don't think.
Oh, no, you've not.
No, and it won't be... Try their scrambled egg. That'd be something different.
Yeah, you'll be hearing about that. Well, actually, you would have already heard about that one on the audio review of Waltz.
Oh, nice segue in there. You might... Oh, you've heard it.
Yeah. Sure.
And this is really just to pig off Adam's mailbox. And what I thought was a good tip for... Credit Crunch tip for Disneyland Paris is if you email Adam during the next 2 weeks... I will send you a ebook copy of my Disneyland Paris family guide completely free.
Hooray!
There'll be a link to it.
Excellent.
And that's till the next show.
Okay.
So that's a saving of whatever it is, £9 or whatever.
So in the next 2 weeks, you've got to send me an email saying what?
I don't know. What do you want them to say, Adam? Do you want them to put a review on iTunes or do you want them just to send and say how wonderful you are?
Let's say you've got to send us an email with something nice that we can read out on the show. And it could be a question, it could be a comment, it could be anything at all. It could even be a suggestion for the show. But you've got to send us an email in the next 2 weeks. And if you send us that email, make sure you put, we'll then reply with a link for you to go and download the ebook. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Was that an ebook or an ebook?
Ebook, either, doesn't matter. Depends whether you come from up north or not.
I thought you were French.
Ebook.
Le book.
Le book. Le book. I don't know how it works. No, actually, it'd be e-libre. So that's what it'd be. So, yeah, email us at disneybrit@hotmail.com. You can get a free ebook copy of Juz's, what's it called? The Family Guide to Disneyland Paris?
Disneyland Paris, the Family Guide, yeah.
Excellent. Disneyland Paris, the Family Guide. And that is your Credit Crunch tip, yeah?
Woohoo, yeah.
Excellent stuff. There we go. Email us. Thank you. Well, that pretty much rounds up episode 19 of the podcast. Once again, thank you to our sponsors, Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. You can find them at www.attraction-tickets-direct.co.uk and Complete Orlando at www.completeorlando.co.uk. Once again, thanks to both Juz and Craig for joining me throughout the show. And a big, big special thank you to Amber Vaughan, Tanya McNally, Joe Young and Margaret Fries from the Disney Moms panel for coming on and joining us over here. You can go over to www.disneymoms.com and find out more about those guys and submit your questions for your upcoming vacation. Don't forget, you can also email us at disneybrits@hotmail.com. Send us your comments, your questions and suggestions. We've had loads of them over the past couple of weeks, which is great, and we've been able to respond to all of those. Don't forget our voicemail. You can ring up from the UK, 0121 288 2858. That's 0121 288 2858. And if you're over there in the US, you can ring 407-54-57980. Don't forget to go over to Twitter. We've both got our Disney Brit and our Mouse Meets Twitter, which I am trying to update as often as I can. Thank you to those people who have been over and left a review on iTunes. Please continue to do that. It really is really greatly appreciated. Don't forget to go over to the Disney Brit website, disneybrit.com, and also to Mouse Meets, disneybrit.com/mousemeets.asp. Find out more about what's going on in the world of Disney Brit and the world of Mouse Meets. You can, of course, go over there and sign up for Mouse Meets still. Don't forget to go over to Facebook. You can friend up me and Juz. You can join the Disney Brit podcast section. You can join also the Mouse Meets page. And you can also say whether you're going to be attending our event, our meet over on the 14th of August at the Magic Kingdom. Also say whether you're going to be attending Mouse Meets there too. Thank you again to those people who have donated to the show. It really is greatly appreciated. And don't forget that the next episode of the Disney Brit podcast, episode 20, will be released on the 22nd of July. So after this, don't forget we have that audio tribute to the late, great Michael Jackson. But until then, and until next time, see ya.
Hey, Jiz and Adam, it's Frank from Buffalo, New York. Just wanted to give you guys a shout-out and say hello to my Brit brothers. Just want to let you know you guys are doing a great job. Keep it coming, and have a great day. Talk to you later. Bye.
As I'm sure you're aware, on June the 25th, 2009, Michael Joseph Jackson, lovingly known to us all as Michael Jackson, the King of Pop, passed away. A massive Disney fan and a really big Disney encourager. This man was always in the Disney parks and would often visit places such as Disneyland Paris and would always take underprivileged families over to the Magic Kingdom or to the other parks over in Walt Disney World. He was also part of one of the greatest 3D movies that Disney ever made, that of Captain EO. It was so good that the 3D film was taken around the world. It was in Epcot and opened on September the 12th, 1986, and closed on July the 6th, 1994. In Disneyland, opened September the 18th, 1986, and closed April the 7th, 1997. In Tokyo Disneyland, it opened March the 20th, 1987, and closed September 1996. And in Disneyland Paris, opened April the 12th, 1992, and closed on August the 17th, 1998. And here at the Disney Brit podcast, we wanted to say our own farewell to Michael Jackson. And we thought the best way to do that would be to play you the audio from Captain Ian.
The cosmos, this world of despair, a ragtag band led by the infamous Captain Eel.
This planet doesn't look so dangerous, Heidi.
Is this it, Odie?
We'll see.
Oh!
We better find that landing beacon.
Hey, Hooter, we're almost there.
Oh, boy!
Don't get too close or you'll trip their intrusion alarm.
Yeah, don't go it, you guys.
Relax, there's no problem.
No problem. Intrusion alarm!
Battle alert!
Battle alert!
Don't panic. That's what got us into trouble the last time.
What? It wasn't our fault, Nestor.
It was Hooter's fault.
Right, it was Hooter's fault. Oh! Oh,
Hooter! Straighten up, man. It's the captain.
Good morning, Captain.
It looks like we tripped their intrusion alarm, sir.
Addy and Odie flew it. They got too close.
We're going in.
Sir, the ship is in absolutely no condition to go into battle. I thought we'd begin by cleaning up Hooter's bunk.
Rust buggy.
Hooter! Listen, the command considers us a bunch of losers. But we're gonna do it right this time because we're the best. We don't, we'll be drummed out of the core.
We won't let you down this time,
sir. We're gonna do it right.
That's right. We'll be perfect, sir.
By the book.
Okay.
Captain! There's something weird out there!
A patrol ship!
I thought so. Maybe we can outrun it.
It's going to ram us!
Get to your station!
We're losing power!
I think we found the beacon. Captain Eel, take a look at this.
The homing beacon. We ran right into it. Everything's okay, sir.
Right on target.
And we reached the homing beacon, sir.
Well, so far so good, Captain Eel. Though I must admit, I am a bit surprised after the mess you made of your last mission. But now that you've found the beacon, take the map. Find the Supreme Leader and give her the gift. You do have the map, don't you?
No problem.
No problem, sir.
Let it go.
Boy, do we have a problem.
We'll never find the Supreme Leader without a map.
Let's go.
My loyal companions and I accept these punishments.
We do?
Of course we do. He's our captain.
Speak for yourself.
So we have come here uninvited and unannounced.
So, then we both admit to your stupidity. Why have you come?
To bring a gift, Your Highness. To someone as beautiful as you.
You think me beautiful?
Very beautiful within, Your Highness, but without a key to unlock it. And that is my gift to you.
So, let me see this gift.
Not only see, Your Highness, but hear.